If you are brand new to our services today, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. What we're going to do next is we're going to spend a moment in prayer. And here's what I'd like to call your attention to. In your bulletins, there's a lot of names. We pray for those that we are aware of, are struggling and have challenges and difficulties. And so, and we don't get all the names on there. We'd like to, but those are the ones that we are aware of right now. And so what I want us to do for a minute or two is think of those names, maybe pick one or two, and also think of the flood victims in Louisiana. Anybody heard about the floods in Louisiana? Yeah, they're a bad deal. And so I want us to also think about the flood victims in Louisiana. And most of you know that a little five-year-old girl was abducted from Meeker County yesterday, brought to our community and killed yesterday. And so I want us to pray for them too. I don't know the girl, the little five-year-old. I don't know the person that took her life. It doesn't matter. But I want us to pray for them today. And several people came to me in the first service and said, "Jim, I couldn't sleep all night." I said, "I couldn't sleep much of it either." And then they said to me, several people in the first service, "I couldn't pray for him either." And I said, "Believe me, I know the feeling." But I brought myself this morning to pray for the person that took the five-year-old's life too. Because you know what? Jesus died for him too. And I know it's horrible. And I know it's disgusting. What did a little five-year-old do wrong? But we got to set all that aside. We got to pray for the family, and we got to pray for the person that took the life. And so I'm just asking you this morning, take a look at your prayer focus. Take a look at some names on there. Remember the Louisiana people. Remember this little girl's family and the man that took her life. Let's pray. Let's spend a moment or two in prayer. Just you and the Lord. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you this morning again thanking you for your grace. That grace that reaches out to us in our sinful state and says, "I forgive you, I love you." That grace that helps us through many a difficult spot. We thank you this morning, Father, Abba, Father, for getting us through some tough spots individually, as a nation, as a community. But we cry out to you this morning, Father God, we need you. Our nation needs you. Our families need you. Our churches need you. Our government needs you. Our schools need you. We as individuals, we desperately do. Father, help us. Help us to really surrender to you. Help us to humble ourselves and repent. Yes, in the church, to repent. And seek your face and pray like we've never prayed before. So that maybe, as you have told Solomon, that you will forgive us again and heal our land. Father, I pray for the names on the prayer focus this morning. There's so many. The hurts run deep. The sicknesses are great. The afflictions. There's all kinds. And so we lift them up to you this morning, Father, asking for your intervention. For your will to be done. We ask, Father, that those on the prayer focus in our communities, in our families, in our churches that haven't been born again, that maybe know about you but don't really know you as Lord, would come to know you in a real, powerful, transformational, life-changing way. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're on death's bed. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're in between. But Father, we pray for the people that just haven't got to know you as Lord, would surrender completely to Jesus Christ today before it's too late. We pray for healing in these that are on the prayer focus, our family, our loved ones, our friends. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for guidance. We pray for encouragement. We pray for peace. The peace that comes from Jesus. We pray for our society that will take up a little girl, flee several counties, and take her life. God, we pray for our society. We desperately need you. Isaiah said it best. It reminds me of Isaiah's very first chapter when Isaiah said of Israel, "We're sick from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We're sick. We've wandered far from you. Life has no value. It has no meaning to so many. We take life young and old at a whim. They may be wearing a policeman's uniform. They may be a 5-year-old little girl. They may be in the womb. We take life at a whim. Oh God, forgive us." Help us, Father, in the church to hurt like you hurt. Help us to weep for those that are lost like you hurt for those that are lost. And weep for the families of those that are hurting. They might be in Louisiana. They might be sitting here today. They might be in Meeker County. They might be the parents of the person that took the little girl's life, but they hurt. And so, Father, I pray that we in the church would continue to be salt and light. We would love our neighbors, including neighbors that have been mean and ugly and even taken life. Father, we pray for those that need attention right now. The sirens are going. Somebody's in trouble. We pray for them right now. We pray for our first responders and our police force, those that will be on the scene. God, watch over each and every one. Now guide us, Lord. We've come together here to worship you. And as we worship you, we've come together today to hear from you. Help us to have ears that hear from you today. And not only in this church, Father, but in gatherings everywhere, help us to hear from you as we worship you. We praise you, Lord. We love you. Guide us now. Guide us always to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at a parable today in Mark 4. Big screen, but I would also encourage you to open your Bibles to this, as commentators call it, the parable of parables. I've decided over the next course of weeks to spend some time in the parables. I enjoy them, and I know lots of others do too. I hope that you do. And so I've chosen the parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils, whatever your Bible calls it. It's one and the same, to start with. Now let me say this before we look at this first parable. This is not original with me, but this is a description of parables that is spot on. Here's what a parable is. A parable is a heavenly truth. Okay, every one of them has a heavenly spiritual meaning. In an earthly context, it's got some earthly setting about it. That's what they could relate to. So a parable is a heavenly truth in an earthly context to enlighten believers and confound unbelievers. You say, what in the world, Jim? Well, let's look at the words of Jesus from Matthew 4 when he talks about parables. When he says in verse 11, he's speaking to his disciples. He said to them, to you, he's talked about this parable already. He's laid it out. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, that would be outside the kingdom yet, all things come in parables. Why? He says, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, that's the confounding part, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Now you're going to have to ask Jesus why he made that statement. You could ask other pastors. They would probably be able to shed some light on that. But that's what he said about the parables. I tell them to you in mystery form so that believers can be enlightened and the unbelievers confounded and confused even further. So, a parable, a heavenly truth in an earthly context, to enlighten believers and confound the unbelievers. Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower is in three of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about it. We will read Mark's account today. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them, in his teaching. So here's the setting. He's in a boat. He's facing the shore. Multitudes of people are there listening, interested, wanting to know what he says, wanting to hear from him. So he's in the boat and he's proclaiming this to these multitudes. And he said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Sowing. That means throwing seed around. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. That would be logical. When some falls along the path, they're on hard ground, they don't get any soil, it would be logical, they're exposed and a bird would eat it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have a whole lot of ground. It didn't have much earth, he said. You see the rocks and the stones together, lots of rocks, very little, or the rocks and the dirt together, very little dirt. And some fell there, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And those of you that know that plant, that ground was warm. And so a lot of rocks, a little bit of dirt, ground is warm. It took a hold immediately. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed also fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it out, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, and increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then when he is alone, insert those verses we already looked at, 11 and 12. Then when he was alone with the 12, he said to them in verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And so that's why commentators refer to this as the parable of parables, because they suggest, as Jesus is suggesting to the 12, if you don't understand this one, you'll not understand any of them. And so he begins to explain in verse 14, the sower sows the word of God, the gospel, the good news, whatever you want to call it. The sower lays out the good news of Jesus. Matthew said it this way, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So the sower is sowing the word, and then Jesus describes each group as these. There's four categories. 15, verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, excuse me, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Let me interject here for a moment. Do you know we have an enemy? We have an enemy that's very real. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy of our souls is the devil. The devil does not want people coming to Christ. He hates God. He hates Jesus. He hates everything that God stands for. We have an enemy. He goes around like a roaring lion, Peter says, seeking whom he may devour next. Do not underestimate the enemy. He is real, and he is out to devour, to kill, steal, and destroy, and keep people from going in any further in their walk with Jesus. Jesus said about that group, when some people hear, our enemy, called Satan, immediately takes a word that was sown in their hearts. And I don't know how he does that, but distraction, don't need it, whatever he does, but he takes that word that they have heard, they have listened to, and gets the people to say, I don't need it, or whatever. Category 2, verse 16, these likewise, there's more seed, sown on the stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Some of your Bibles say receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Your NIV Bibles will say they fall away. This category saw something that they liked, received it at least for momentarily for a joy, with joy and with gladness. But as soon as difficulty arose, immediately they stumbled. Verse 18, category 3. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes, the word, unfruitful. And their lives, consequently, unfruitful. But, he said in verse 20, these are the ones who are sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah! There's seed going to work. Let me, for a couple minutes, expand on these categories just a little bit. Seed fell by the wayside is category 1. I've mentioned already, this is the word of God going forth to masses of people. From the time that Jesus was here until the time He comes back, masses of people that have heard, are hearing, or will hear, but do nothing about what they've heard. Are you hearing me this morning? Masses of people will hear about the Word of God, maybe through a missionary, maybe through a pastor, priest, evangelist, maybe through Christian radio, maybe through Christian TV, but masses of people will hear and do nothing about it. Category 2, there is a lot of the word going out there, and it's falling on very, very shallow soil, in with the rocks. Very little dirt, so it springs up. The Bible says, receive it with gladness. Sometimes people hear and really like what they've heard and say, I'm interested, I'm curious, whatever. Receive the word with joy. But have no substance to their faith. Have no root. Have no depth. And when trials or difficulties arise, they fall away. Bail out. When I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about people that I've known. That have at one point in their lives said, "Yes, Jim, yes, Lord. I believe what you're saying is true. And I'm really interested in that. I'm excited about that." And maybe even have a prayer. And 6 weeks, 6 months, 2 years down the road, forget it all. Don't need it. I'm not saying this category is redeemed or not. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I'm saying what the Bible says. They receive the Word of God with joy, and there comes a time when they bail out on what they've heard. I wouldn't recommend the category. To say, I said a prayer one time way back there, and I got God in my life, so I can do what I want. That's not what following Jesus is. Category 3, seed that fell into the thorn patch. This is the Word of God being distributed in places of much competition. There's weeds there. There's thorns there. There's much competition. Have you noticed, brothers and sisters, there's much competition for Jesus today? Much competition. There's competition for how much time we spend with Him. There's competition even if we go to church or not, or if we go to prayer time, or if we go to Bible study, or if we spend time in the Word, or if we get alone in our prayer closet, like the War Room movie. There's competition for Jesus. And when that competition gets a hold of us, it begins to choke us out because we're more interested in something else than Jesus, and we produce no fruit. It's kind of like I've said here a whole bunch of times. If we decide we're going to follow Jesus, we need to decide we're going to follow Jesus. Because the world will form and mold and make people into its form and mold. And so either we've got to let the Word of God mold and form us into what God wants of His people, or the world will form and mold us into what the world wants. The desire of riches. Some of you were here last week when we talked from Mark 10 about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You remember that story? Some of you are here. Some of you weren't here, but you know the story. He'd kept all the commands. He was blessed by God. Sure looked like it. He had all the wealth in the world. But his heart wasn't right with Jesus. Jesus said, "You're still lacking one thing. It's called a heart condition. Sell everything you got, give to the poor, then come follow me and you'll have riches in heaven," is what He told him. He couldn't do it. The deceitfulness of riches, Jesus said, will choke out the Word. The cares of the world, when we care more about the world stuff than Jesus stuff, it will choke us out and there will be no fruit. I would say, and I will admit I could be wrong, but I would say that this parable of parables has lots of other parables that speak to it, and when you look at them all, they really say the same thing. I would say that this category of people, this category where the seed has fallen, is like other places in Scripture, like John 15, for example, that talks about the parable of the vine and the branches. The vine dresser is trying to get production out of the vines, but in no fruit coming, those branches get cut off and gathered up and thrown away and burned. In Luke 13, there's a very short parable that talks about a landowner and the vineyard keeper and a fig tree that's not producing any figs. And the landowner said, cut it down. The vine dresser says, give it one more chance. I'll water it, I'll fertilize it. And then he says, if it bears, well. If it doesn't, then cut it down. This idea of not letting the Word bear any fruit in our lives and our lives not bearing any fruit for the kingdom is a very dangerous place to be. Thinking I've got it all together, all is well, but the world and its activities are choking out the true Word in my life, and I produce no fruit for the kingdom. To me, this is a very, very dangerous place to be. Because people thinking here, I got it all together, in reality, Jesus is probably saying, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him that does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Category 4, seed that fell in good soil. This is people that hear the Word of God, respond by faith to what they have heard and begin to grow like that healthy plant. And like a healthy plant does, it begins to bear fruit and begins to reproduce itself. That's Jesus' commission to make disciples. There's much, he said, there's much word falling on good soil, producing all kinds of fruit, praise be to God. Not everybody's the same. We know that. We're not the same. You're not the same as me, and me as you, and not the same as other believers. But we've got one thing in common when we're following Christ and producing fruit. There's evidence with bearing fruit that we are following Christ. There's evidence. Let me just say this morning, friends. I don't want to find myself in any one of the first three categories, and I don't think you do either. Category 4 is not a denominational thing. It is clearly any and all people that have heard the gospel, they've heard the good news, they've responded to the grace of God by faith and are living for Jesus. They are bearing fruit. They are noticeable for Jesus. I don't know why Jesus told disciples, if you don't understand this parable, you'll not understand any of them. This is why I've started with this one, because I want us to understand that in every parable there's a heavenly truth, a deep spiritual meaning for us to get, to grasp, and apply. And I simply want to ask us this morning as we close, are you right with God through faith in Jesus Christ? You say, yeah, Jim, I believe in God. Have you been born again? Are you right with God through faith in Christ? Surrendered faith in Christ. Look at all these categories. Heard the Word, done nothing about it. Heard the Word, received it with joy, fall away. Heard the Word, responded somewhat, but let the cares of the world choke out the Word. All those other categories. And I simply ask us, are you right with God today through faith in Christ? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You can't work our way to heaven. We must experience the grace of God in the blood of Jesus and surrender to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and we begin to grow and produce fruit for the kingdom. There's no doubt in my mind, people today in churches all over, of every category. People that have heard, nah, I don't want anything to do with it. People that have heard said, yes, I'm interested, but after a little while, nah, I don't want it. People that have heard, but just keep on doing life as always, with no fruit, no change, no surrender perhaps, no transformation. And there are certainly people in category 4. Our responsibility is to bear fruit. But I just want to call to attention today, friends. I'm not here today. I said this earlier service. I'm not here to be the fruit-bearing police. I am here to enlighten us to the truth of Scripture. Have you gotten right with God through faith in Christ? Have you surrendered completely? Have you humbled yourself, repented of sin, and put Jesus on the throne of your life? Remember what I said last week, those of you who are here? There's not room for you and Jesus on the throne. There's not room in my life for me and Jesus. It's one or the other. And until we surrender to Christ, we're not where God would have us to be. We must surrender to Christ as Lord. 342, we're going to sing together 342, just as I am, to close. And friends, I just want you to think about it. I just want you to ask yourselves, do I know that I know if I die today, I'm going to be in glory with God tomorrow because of Jesus, because of my faith and surrendered life to Him? Because if we're still wondering, if we're shrugging our shoulders, well, I hope so, well, I think so, that's not a very good answer. The Bible says you must be born again. And so I simply ask us to think about these categories. Which category do you find yourself in today? Ask God, Father God, help me to understand. Which category am I in? I think I'm in four, but if I'm not, help me to know that. While we're singing this song, if you want to pray at the altar, you want Richard to pray with you, or I'll pray with you. If you want to pray right where you're at, get right with God through faith in His Son. Repent of all sin. Invite Christ into your life. Be born again. Walk with Jesus. Friends, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And let me just say this. It's true. He will receive us. We've just got to come. We've got to come to the cross. We've got to come to the throne of grace by faith and experience the grace of God and forgiveness of sin. We've got to come. He'll take us, but we've got to come. We've got to come humble. We've got to come surrendered and allow Jesus to be Lord of our life. Father, thank You that You've made this all possible. Your grace is available. The blood of Jesus has been shed on Calvary's tree to atone for our sin. But we've got to come be partakers of Your grace. We've got to come by faith and receive Christ as Lord. Your Word says, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed on His name. And so, Father, help us. Help us to come to that point of surrender, of believing, of receiving Christ as Lord and be born again. And when we're born again, Father, help us to walk in newness of life. Help us surrender completely to You and allow Your Spirit to transform and change us from the old ways to the new person in Christ. Help us to be fruit bearers for the kingdom. Denominations aside, help Your people everywhere be fruit bearers for the kingdom, O God. As we go from here this morning, Lord, help us to know I've been born again. I've been redeemed. I've surrendered to Christ. I'm living for Him. And if we're in categories that other than that, Father, help us move to a steadfast relationship with You through faith in Christ that's real and bearing fruit. Go with us, Father. Guide us. Encourage us, strengthen us, heal us, save us, forgive us, O God. Use us for Your glory, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.